Go tell it. The good news of Jesus Christ. That news does not end at the manger, for sure. That's a starting point, not the starting point of the story, but one of the big focal points that brings the story into real living color for us. Today, we want to continue that story with some good news for unfinished people. You ever felt like you were just very much still in process?
All the time.
like the things God began in you. Man, you're plugging along at, but you're just not there. Anybody? Okay. Yeah. Thank you for some of you in the room. Today, we want to take a look at the last year, and we want to look forward to the next year. And this time of reflection is important. And I want to tell you, it's important enough that the sermon that we had on tap for today, God was like, yeah, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to go back to the reflection. And so here we are. And so with that, I want to ask, did anyone's 2024, is it coming to an end the way you pictured it?
Not at all.
No? No? Is it the year that you dreamed of?
Not at all.
No? No? Is it nothing at all like the year you dreamed of? I think we've already heard some affirmations there. Is it greater than you imagined?
No.
Anybody have a year better than they thought it would be? Yes, I see some hands. I love that. Yes. For some of you, did your dream of a year turn into a little bit of a nightmare, at least in
yes.
a few spaces and places?
A good half and half.
A good half and half. I like that. Hills and valleys, right?
Yeah.
Hills and valleys.
Yes.
He is the Lord of hills and valleys. And so as tempting as it might be to take a wide step away from 2024 and just keep it moving, we want to give it a little more credit than that. We want to give the things that God did in 2024 a little bit more space and a little bit more reflection. One, because he's God and he's in charge and he deserves all the credit and the glory.
Yeah.
And two, I don't know about y'all, but there are some consequences from this last year that I don't want to relive in next year. I want to look back and make sure I got the lesson so that I can step forward and not hit repeat. Can I get an amen in the house?
Amen.
So traditionally, this has been a week of reflection for us as we close out with Christmas before we go into the new year or as we go into the new year, however the calendar falls. It's been a year of reflection, or it's been a time, a week that we take time as a church to reflect and to celebrate what God has done. And it may look a little different this year because we haven't had or we're not doing our regular brunch that we've done in the past. However, can I just get a shout of praise that we've actually been established long enough as a church to have set some traditions.
Yeah.
Like, I thought about that as I was working through this. I thought, wait, we actually do have a tradition at 4 years old. That's really exciting, you guys. Some of you are new in your faith journey. Some of you are new in marriages. Some of you are in new seasons of life. And in that, you're learning to set some of your own traditions, and that's good. It's good. As I considered this year for us as a church, for many of you in your lives and what I've watched go on, what Pastor Rick and I have walked with you in the highs and lows, the hills and the valleys, and definitely for us personally, there's a verse that jumped off to me over these last few days. It's a verse many of you are familiar with. Why don't you read Romans 8:28 with me? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Sometimes that is easy to see. And if we're being honest, sometimes it requires some digging. It requires some prayer, some reflection. Sometimes living in the fruit of that verse requires some intentional steps. And those are the steps I'd like us to take today. And that starts with remembering where God has brought you from. Where is the place that God has brought you from? I want to turn to a passage that we unpacked in detail about a year and a half ago, maybe. And we're just going to hit the wave tops today. But I want to read this to you, and it's going to be up on the screen. If you're joining us online, we're in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. God said, "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight.' So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over to their camp where they put them down. Joshua set up 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. I want to give you a little background if you're unfamiliar with this story. The Israelites are about to cross over into the Promised Land after 40 years in the wilderness, after being freed from the oppressive rule of the Egyptians. And as they do that, they are at a time of year where the Jordan River is not a trickle, it is at flood stage. And so for the military people in the room, or those who have watched movies, or in even any of the old cowboy movies, whenever you have to cross a river, you look for the low point in the river, you look for the place to cross. There is no low point in the Jordan at this time. Where they need to cross is peaked at flood stages, and God is telling them they're going to cross into the Promised Land. And he once again does a mighty miracle. Because as the priests with the Ark of the Covenant stepped their toe to the edge of the water was stopped. And much like he did when he parted the Red Sea, God built a wall of miracle to hold back the water so that his people could cross over into the Promised Land. Now there's one more verse I want to read to you. Well, actually two verses, verses 12 and 13 that are just a little further down. It says, "The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over it, ready for battle in front of the Israelites as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord into the plains of Jericho for war." Church, if we're going to look at what God has brought us out of, we have to remember what God has delivered us from. For Israel, that was freedom from slavery. It was walking out of 40 years of consequence from their own sin. And as they looked back, that time wasn't easy, but it was most definitely a time of deliverance. Now, for us, what were the lowlights? What were the oppressive giants in your life this year? What enslaved you this past year, if anything did? And what were the highlights? Where did God bring you out with his mighty hand? Where did God cause your enemies to treat you with favor as he did with the Israelites as they pulled up chocks and left Egypt? What has that been for you? And as you reflect on that, you might look and you might say, yeah, but man, it's still going on, Pastor Jen. Like, there have been some high hilltop moments. There have been some miracles, and I can point to them, but there's a tough road ahead. I'm still unfinished. I'm still in process. I thought I'd be further. And I want to point out here that even as God commands the Israelites to take up these 12 stones, and I don't want you to think pebbles, the stones in the Jordan are massive. As these men went out to the center of the river with the water walled up upstream, they heaved up heavy boulders to their shoulders. And I want to point out that even as they are crossing into the promised land, they are standing in a mighty shadow of deliverance. I don't think one of them stepped out into that riverbed with no thought at all of the floodwaters that were being held back by God. They are not only standing in the shadow of deliverance, they are bearing the weight of promise. God didn't say, go pick up a pebble. God said, I want you to remember what I have delivered you from, and to do that, I want you to heave up a big old stone and carry that weight just a little ways to set it down so that you remember my deliverance. Not only that, in the midst of going into the promised land, you guys, like, this was it. 40,000 went first prepared for battle because they are facing a road filled with battles. I don't know what your shadows are, and I don't know what the weights are, and I don't know what the battles in front of you are, but God does. And his promise has not left you. His deliverance has not left you. His favor has not left you, even as you walk through the riverbed. The invitation is, once you pick that weight up, once you name that thing like those boulders named the 12 tribes of Israel, once you acknowledge it, then you get to set it down forever. To this day, that altar stands. And so the invitation is to reflect and remember, but then to lay down that weight because God has taken it from you. Church, what is still unresolved in your 2024? What is the thing that is in process but not there yet? What pains and struggles and doubts do you need to lay down as you head into 2025? It's a little quiet, but I did ask you to think. Can I be honest? And I started to pull that phrase back because I say it all the time. Let me be honest. 2024 didn't look like we thought it would look, not in the Legacy household, not at all. We started the year with our youngest son, Caleb, having his life literally unravel in a huge way, like just fall apart. And as a parent, can I tell you how incredibly hard it was to pastor a church and be on your face for your kid nonstop? And he's a grown man, he's not a kid, but they're always our kids, right? But God, Caleb, the one thing he said as everything unraveled was, I realize I've had God in the back seat and I need to let him drive and move over. And he did that, and we got to watch that. We got to celebrate that with him. And after almost 5 months of watching him put the pieces of his life back together, we were greatly anticipating his graduation from medical school, his promotion to Army captain, all the things that with God's mighty, miraculous hand had been put back in place. 5 days before that, a simple trip to Costco. Felt something snap in my knee. Just snap, and I couldn't walk. Just snap, and I'm in a wheelchair with a giant brace trying to go to graduation. Not the end of the world. We still celebrated. 5 days later, in a much more significant health crisis, everything in Rick's back and hip and everything just seemed to quit and break all in one fell swoop. It was a moment that landed him in the hospital for 9 days and landed him unable to walk and for the most part move for 7 weeks before his surgery. Somewhere in the middle of all of that, our oldest son and his wife, who we love dearly, bought their first house, and that's so exciting, like so exciting, except that the seller decided he wasn't leaving after he sold the house, and they spent weeks upon weeks upon weeks at the courthouse and paying bills that weren't theirs to pay. You know when you're buying your house for the first time and you scrap up every dollar that you have to do it? Suddenly they had thousands of more dollars of debt because there was a squatter in their house. It was a year. Full of unexpected struggles and unexpected valleys and deep pain and frustration and irritation and crying out to the Lord. And if we're being really honest, it's easier to stay there rehearsing all of that than it is to look for the gifts, to look for the good, to look for the deliverance. I don't know why, as humans, it's so much easier for us to rehearse our trauma than it is for us to rehearse our victories. It is one of the great tricks of the enemy. But one of the reasons we reflect and we look back is so that we can acknowledge our trauma and then, like a great big boulder, set it down and leave it there as we celebrate our deliverance. See, if those things hadn't happened, if Caleb hadn't had awful things to walk through, then he wouldn't have repositioned where he was at in the car and turned it over for God to drive and let God begin to steer his life again so that he is experiencing incredible victories. If it wasn't because of his choice and realization to put it back together God's way, then he probably wouldn't have met the most beautiful, wonderful young woman that we are celebrating being welcomed into our family. If Dylan and Holly hadn't gone through the really hard thing of, what do you mean we prayed? They prayed. They prayed about what house to buy. They prayed about how much to offer. They prayed. They gave it all to God. If they hadn't gone through that, they wouldn't have the faith gift that they have right now. They had been walking in some hurts and traumas for a couple years, and they weren't mad. Like, they hadn't turned away from God, but they weren't exactly sidled up to God either. And now, they're in that relationship. We got to celebrate Christmas in their new home that they are building together with joy and excitement, and all the yuck is forgotten as they build their own traditions. And for us, God showed up in ways we could never imagine. Like, personally, in our marriage, we reset some priorities. We changed some of what our now looks like instead of waiting all for the future so that we could live fully and abundantly now in the gift of our marriage and in the gift of our health as God has bit by bit put the pieces back together. Our church family showed up in that time and reminded us over and over, you showed up in that time and reminded us over and over and over that we were as seen, known, and loved as we continually tell everyone else that they are. We got to see our team get stronger, find confidence, realize they could do things they weren't sure they could do yet without us, and realize that the weight of the church, and if we're being honest, 3.5 years into a church plant can feel like the weight of the church is on our shoulders, realize that the weight of the church is on the shoulders of a mighty God, and we just get to walk beside him. I know it's easy to rehearse the hard, but today I want to encourage you to write the hard on those stones and set them down and leave them. And instead, when your children and your friends and your siblings and your neighbors ask you, what is this year held? You can celebrate the goodness of God and talk about what he's delivered you from and how he's shown up. And whatever your story is, whether it's good or it's bad, even if it's scorched earth, can I remind you that God makes beauty from ashes? And as we look at that thing, then we get to see the phoenix rising rather than focusing on the ashes. Amen. So what then? If we acknowledge what has happened, if we look at what God has delivered us from, what's the next step? We got to follow where God is leading. Another passage we dug into this year was from Exodus chapter 23. Verse 20 says, "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen and do what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to do what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and I will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of all the ites, and I will wipe them out." Church, God has gone ahead of us. God has gone ahead of you. Wherever you're at, God has gone ahead. And there is a path that has been prepared. Here's the kicker. Sometimes we don't take that path. Sometimes, even though God always prepares a path, sometimes we go our own way. And the promise of walking in, because once again, this is all about walking into the promised land. It's 40 years before they actually do, but regardless, it's all about walking into the promised land. And if we're going to walk into the promises that he has for us, then we have to do the couple of things that he laid out in here. One, remember he's gone ahead of you, so you don't have to cut the path yourself. We have to pay attention and listen. We have to not rebel. Translation, we got to submit. We have to listen carefully. And again, he says, do what he says. And then God will bring you into the land he has promised you. Probably won't look like we think it's going to look. If we go a little further down in that passage, actually, I want you to read this with me, but first I want you to repeat after me, okay? Hittites, Canaanites, Hivites. Are we good?
Yep.
All right, let's read this passage together. "I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive out the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way, but I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become too desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land." little by little. If we go down just another verse or two, it says, do not make a covenant with them or with their gods. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me, because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you. See, God says, I have this promised land for you. I'm walking you in. 2025 is a year of forward progress. No matter what hills and valleys you're going to go through. However, you got to keep focusing on me, God says. You have to keep following and recognize that God said it didn't happen all in 1 year. I love how he says, because you couldn't handle it. Anybody born before 2000 probably has a movie reference frame. You can't handle it, God says. And along the way, they were flat out told, you're going to face enemies, you're going to face wild beasts, you're going to face temptations of sin, and be given plenty of idols to worship right in front of you that are designed by the enemy to snare you. And if you're going to walk into the promised land the way I intended, if you're going to stay on my path, God says, then I need you to keep your eyes on the one who has gone ahead of you, the one I have sent. And church, what I want to say to us is, no matter what we look at closing this year and moving into the next year, no matter what unexpected surprises, good, bad, or indifferent are there, keep your eyes on Jesus and he will deliver you little by little. Remember that the little by little was to protect them, not to hold them back. You see, they had to grow enough to handle the promise. And for us, little by little is hard, and we forget that God is not punishing us. He has not just taken his time. He has not forgotten you. He is not tarrying for no reason. Your progress is little by little because God is growing you up enough to live abundantly in the promise he's delivering you to. Finally, if we're not in that little by little, gonna get discouraged or angry or bitter or lost or snared, if we're not going to turn to worship idols because we're distracted from the path, then we have to trust him in the process. I want to close this year out with a prayer from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24. It's a prayer that Paul prayed over the church in Thessalonica. We're going to break it down just a little bit, because it's so much richer than first glance might lend. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. There's a whole process outlined here, you guys. First, who's the person that does it? God himself. May God himself, the God of peace. He reveals his character there, the God of peace. That's the God of wholeness and holiness, shalom, peace. The peace of God means complete and whole and holy. For what purpose does God do this? To sanctify us. That's a real churchy word, but it means to make us whole and holy. The highs and the lows, the hills and the valleys, the process itself is not designed for giggles and grins. It is designed to make us whole and holy. And in that, what's that next bullet there? The prospect. What is the prospect of what's to come? It's not just that we live a happy spiritual life or a whole and holy spiritual life. See, that is part of it, but God is bigger than that. And he wants more for us than that. He says, sanctify you through and through, your whole spirit, soul, and body. There's significance to those words, and we in our culture transpose spirit and soul all the time, but I want you to understand the language and what it meant and what it means translated for us today. The soul was the inner self, the mind, the thoughts, the feelings, the heart, and the beings. God just doesn't want to sanctify your spiritual time with him. He wants to sanctify your character. He wants to sanctify your mind. He wants to sanctify your emotions. Oh, let me take the churchy word out of it. God wants to make your emotions and your heart and your mind whole and holy. God wants to make your character whole and holy, complete and good. And if that wasn't enough, let's hit the New Year's resolutions. He wants to do the same thing to our body, our physical. He isn't just about perfecting our heart, our mind, and our Jesus time. He's about working with us to perfect our bodies. And that is not, by the way, the image on the magazine cover that's been airbrushed and cut down to some obscenely itsy-bitsy, unrealistic size. Or pumped up. We'll leave that there. It's about health and wholeness. And that's what God desires. He sanctifies every bit of us through and through. Does that sound like little by little? See, through and through is a process. It means he started, but he's not finished. It means that he won't be finished until, what is it? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in that, the position, purpose, person, purpose, prospect, position is one of blamelessness. Because by the blood of Jesus, because the good news wasn't left at the manger or the cross, but the empty tomb, because that's the good news. We are blameless in the sight of God. That's our position. And that might sound like a tall order. And as you look back at those stones of deliverance, it might seem like the battles in front of you might be too much. But then comes the promise. He has called you. He who has called you is faithful, and he will do it. The promise, the whole and the holy, the walking it out little by little through and through, mind, spirit, and body. Character, soul, all of it. He will do it. I want to share, some of you know what's going on in the lives of one of our church families right now. Some of you have been like, where'd Susan and Guthrie go? They've been gone for a couple weeks now. What's happening? I want to share with you the little by little through and through journey for someone very close to them, family, really. Her name is Marcia. Guthrie's mom cares for two adult handicapped children. She's had Marcia since Marcia was 18. She's had Marcia taken care of her for 30 years. Now, for some of you who know Guthrie, you can do the quick math and recognize that that means that when Guthrie's mom, Deanna, came home from the hospital with Guthrie, Marcia was already there waiting. And so while Susan and Guthrie will also often refer to Marcia and Josh as clients, they are family, they are sister and brother to them. And as they all arrived with Deanna, Marcia, and Josh a week and a half ago on a Saturday night, Marcia began to experience respiratory distress, and they took her to the hospital to find out that she is succumbing to cancer that she didn't know was there. Over the last couple days, they've moved Marcia into hospice. They've come back home here with Marcia under hospice. The family is there. They're in that waiting space, little by little waiting. But can I tell you that Marcia is so close to whole and holy? She has shared with family that she is on family vacation and she is having a great time. For an adult child who didn't realize that anything was even wrong with her, other than becoming agitated because she's uncomfortable, she doesn't understand the why, she just knows that she is surrounded by family. That she is eating mashed potatoes and popcorn and Snickers bars and whatever she would like when she can eat. And she knows, get this, that Jesus is going to come and take her, and she's not scared. See, there's a purity in that innocence. There's a joy that comes with holy and whole. And even as the family walks through an incredibly difficult time, Jesus is there. And Marcia has her eyes fixed on Jesus and until he shows up on the family that loves her. And she is having a, quote, great time. What if we could let go of the burdens like that? What if we could fix our eyes on Jesus in a way that no matter what's happening with him, we're having a great time? What if we could equally hold on to the present and look to the future on the path that God has laid out for us? Which is not easy, but it is perfected. Pray for them. God, even right now, we lift up Marcia to you. We lift up Josh as he seeks to understand what's happening. We hold Deanna and Susan and Guthrie and Guthrie's sister Opal, who's back in Arkansas. We hold them close. And we thank you, God, that you hold them closer. And we pray that as they walk towards your timing, that there would be peace. That there would continue to be laughter. And that until Marcia is completed, whole and holy in your presence, that there would be a great time. Jesus, we thank you in your name. Church, if it's been a rough year, I know it can be hard to see beauty in the ashes. And if it's been a great year, it can be tempting to think that we have arrived. But the truth is, we're all unfinished people. We're all still in process. But when we follow God, when we, as God instructed his people to do, listen, follow, submit, obey, then there's progress and there's deliverance and there's beauty in that, even when it's hard. Because the God who created us, the God who knit you together in your mother's womb, he sees you already perfected through Jesus Christ. And through the highs and the lows, he is working to reveal that perfect self to us and those around us. I want to leave you with one last story. In 1464, sculptor, let me see if I can do this one right. I'm good at Hebrew and Greek. I am not good at this. Augusto di Duccio? Agostino di Duccio. I practiced that. It was better in my practice this morning, I promise. Bought a giant slab of marble. It was was a flawed slab. There was an imperfection in it, but he was a sculptor, and he had it in his mind that he was going to sculpt a great prophet of the Old Testament. And he worked at it for 2 years before he gave up. 2 years later, another sculptor, I'm sorry, 10 years later, another sculptor in 1476 with an easier name, Antonio Rossellino, he picked up the work and he tried. He worked at it. He struggled, but the flaw in the marble was too great and he gave up. And this giant slab of priceless marble with its little flaw sat untouched for about 25 years. 25 years later, a 26-year-old sculptor was commissioned to work on that flawed slab of marble that had since been named the Giant. He saw the flaw from a different perspective. When he looked at the marble and the flaw, he saw what could be a tree stump that would support a figure. He saw what could support something rather than cripple the vision. 4 years later, Michelangelo revealed one of the greatest sculptures, David, to all the world, with parts left off. When they asked Michelangelo how he could do it, there's a paraphrase up here. I cut away everything that wasn't David. But what he said was, "In every block of marble, I see a statue as plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and action. I have only to hew away the rough walls that imprison the lovely apparition to reveal it to the other eyes as mine see it." Paraphrased, I cut away everything that didn't look like David. Can I tell you that's what God does with us? Little by little, through and through, spirit, soul, and body. Whatever the last year has held and whatever we look towards in this next year, the good news of the gospel is that God is at work. Can we put that? God is at work with us and in us, little by little, cutting away everything that isn't holy and whole to reveal the masterpiece that he created us to be. Church, you are a masterpiece. Whatever has been and whatever will be, God is little by little cutting away all the bits that aren't the you he created you to be, to reveal you whole and holy to yourself and to those around you.